if you haven't heard from God, maybe, just throwing this out there, you hadn't been listening. You hadn't been taking the time to sit and listen to the Lord. I know the Lord wants to speak to us. Here's three ways that we can hear from the Lord. Number one, prayer time and devotions. Prayer time and devotions. Number two, Bible studies. And number three, Christian friends. Christian friends.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today on the program, we have Neil, one of David McGee's assisting pastors, to help share with us.
Great to be here with all of our listeners. As always, love studying through the scriptures together. And 2 Samuel's been an awesome book for us to be challenged in and be encouraged in. And today, it's really talking about taking the time to listen to what the Lord would say to you. Just sitting before the Lord. We've been hearing a lot of that lately, right? With things that are going on in the culture today, we can sit and listen to the Lord, and that's where our peace comes from.
And sometimes we just kind of lose track of time when we're listening to what the Lord has to say.
That's great, Bob, that you spend that amount of time with the Lord. I hope our listeners are doing the same. But let's listen in as Pastor David talks about listening to the Lord.
Great. Here's David McGee as he begins 2 Samuel chapter 7 with his verse-by-verse teaching.
So we're in 2 Samuel. We're looking at the life of David, and he really does have a passion for God. Now, we've already seen David make some pretty major mistakes, but he still has a heart towards God. And I think if we're honest, every one of us can relate to that, because every one of us has made a mistake, some of them really serious with some serious consequences, and yet God still desires a relationship with us. It's an amazing thing. And I think a lot of times, especially, you know, speaking from experience, having been raised in the South, having been raised in churches, there's a legalism that, I'm spending a lifetime unlearning. Legalism meaning that God loves me when I'm doing everything right, but when I mess up, God no longer loves me. That's one definition of legalism. Now let's look at chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, verse 1. Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." Now this is cool. Notice David's sitting around his house, and what is David doing? David's thinking about God. He's thinking, if you will, about the house of God. And now notice it says, giving him rest from all his enemies all around. Was this a permanent rest? Absolutely not. David went through a season where somebody wasn't trying to attack him, a family member wasn't rebelling, or somebody wasn't, you know, at the border trying to come in. Please understand, we're given a peace that passes all understanding. That doesn't mean that we'll not have battles. As a matter of fact, if you've been walking with the Lord for very long, once you're in a season where there's not battles, you understand it's just like a few minutes or a few days or a few weeks before the next battle comes. So, you know, rather than just, you know, think, well, I shouldn't ever be engaged in another battle, think, well, praise God for a quiet time before the next battle starts. I learned a trick when I used to travel around for playing music and stuff, because a lot of times, you know, you don't get 8 hours of sleep when you're out on the road. Whenever I laid down, I would lay down and think, I'm gonna get like 15 minutes of rest. And this is really cool. And sometimes, yeah, it'd be 15 minutes and somebody be waking me up going, come on, we gotta go to some next town or something. But sometimes, you know, I get 3-4 hours, sometimes 8 hours. And I'd be like, oh, praise God, man, I got 8 hours. Why? Because the expectation was I was gonna have 15 minutes of rest. Now, if your expectation is you got another battle in a couple minutes, you're gonna be really grateful if a couple of days go by and there's not another battle. But if you're sitting there going, well, I really don't think I should ever have another battle ever in my life. You know what that makes you? That makes you dead. If you don't have a battle, if you're not struggling, you know, and it's interesting because as believers, you know, we kind of act like there's two categories of Christians, followers of Jesus. You know, one are those who are struggling and then ones who are not struggling. No. There's two kind of Christians, two kind of followers of Jesus. There's those who are struggling and those who are lying, you know, because in some way, all of us are struggling with something. And yet what happens is we've kind of learned to wear this Christian mask that everything's always okay. How you doing? Fine. You know, you could have had a horrible day, and yet there's an opportunity to say, man, I'm not doing good. you pray for me? There's an opportunity, but what do we usually do? Fine, thank you, how are you? You know, I've experimented with it. I got a weird mind, I guess, but I've experimented, you know, because sometimes people go, how are you? I go, bad. And I go, oh, great, glad to hear it. I just said I was doing bad, and they said, great, glad to hear it. Maybe they're telling me something, I don't know. But so we get rest sometimes, but not a lot. There's a lot of battles going on. The Bible talks about us being soldiers. We're called to be soldiers. I like the saying, we haven't been called to a playground, we've been called to a battleground. And we'll have times of peace and we'll have times of war. Verse 3 says, then Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Now, let's remember, the ark had been in the house of Abinadab, and David had brought it to Jerusalem, and now David's wondering what to do with the ark. He wants to put it in a special place, special house. And incidentally, if you're taking notes and you want some like supplemental reading or whatever, Psalm 89 seems to kind of parallel this chapter. So you may want to read that at another time. But so Nathan says, yeah, you know, it's in your heart. Go and do it. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that says, God will give you the desires of your heart. I've heard people say, well, what that means is that whatever your little old evil heart desires, God will give it to you. And there's a bunch of people, you know, that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, and, you know, that whole thing. And I want me a Cadillac, and I'm going, you know, hold my breath till my face turns blue. God, give me a Cadillac, that kind of thing. But that's not what that verse is talking about. It means as you walk with the Lord, God puts certain desires in your heart to do them. And that's a really cool supernatural thing. Now let's read verse 4. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? Now, let's go ahead and talk about something. It says, happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan. The word of the Lord. I've been in some churches that, and let me be clear. I believe God does speak through people, okay? I believe he speaks through me in the, whether you want to call it a gift of teaching or perhaps a gift of prophecy. We think of prophecy as forthtelling, but according to the Bible, prophecy is always, it is also speaking to people on behalf of God. That's prophecy. If you've been in charismatic Pentecostal fellowships, maybe you're used to during the service, somebody stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, and then they say something that God has laid on their heart. I've been in fellowships that did that. Sometimes it was of God, sometimes it wasn't. And some of these churches I was in, the pastor never said anything about it either way. I mean, I heard people stand up and go, thus saith the Lord, da 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 da. And then, you know, the pastor gets up and he doesn't even say, boy, that was not from God. We don't have this happen a lot here. And here's why. Simply because, well, there's a couple reasons for it. Yeah, this is nowhere in my notes. I'd not planned on going this, so this is, hopefully it's going to minister to some people. Now, I had a brother come to me. And he said, look, what would happen if in the middle of the teaching, in the middle of the meeting, somebody stood up and started giving a word from God, prophesying? I said, well, I don't think that would happen. He goes, yeah, but what if it did? What if somebody stood up and did that? I said, I don't think that would happen. He said, yeah, but what if it did? What if somebody? Now, at this point, I'm pretty sure he knows who somebody is. And this guy's making plans. And I said, no, that wouldn't be the Lord. And I'll tell you why, brother. Because if God has anointed and appointed me and empowered me to teach the word of God to the people, and I'm up there teaching the word of God, speaking to the people on behalf of the Lord, for somebody to stand up and interrupt me is out of order. And God is not going to interrupt himself. Now, maybe your church experience or whatever, you've seen that done. I'm sorry, we're not going to do it here. That being said, do I believe in the gift of prophecy? Absolutely, I do. You know, I've had people pray for me that it was like that I hardly knew, and yet they prayed so dead on. It was like, man, that's crazy. That's God. Now, is it always God when that happens? No, it's not. Regrettably, some people get in the flesh, and that's what happens. But how do we hear from God? How do we hear from the Lord? A lot of times we think, well, let's go to the church. Let's go to some church that does that a lot, and then we can hear from God. Wait a minute. Is that the way God interacts with people in the New Testament? You got to go to a certain church in a certain place for God to speak to you? Boy, that's really close to Old Testament theology, isn't it? where, you know, we all had to go to Jerusalem in order to worship God and make sacrifices. Is that the way God still interacts with us? Absolutely not. You want to hear from God? Sit and talk to Him. You want to hear from God? Come to a Bible study. You want to hear from God? Sit and pray. Oh, sit and pray. That's when we talk to God. Should be when we listen as well. Maybe you're thinking, well, I hadn't heard from God. Well, have you given Him a chance to talk during your prayer time? When you use the phone, when you call somebody, do you immediately, as soon as it starts ringing, how you doing? I got to tell you about it. No. You wait for them to answer, and you know that they're listening, and then you start talking. So maybe, if you haven't heard from God, maybe, just throwing this out there, you hadn't been listening. You hadn't been taking the time to sit and listen to the Lord. I know the Lord wants to speak to us. Here's three ways that we can hear from the Lord. Number one, prayer time and devotions. Prayer time and devotions. Number two, Bible studies. God often speaks to us through Bible studies. And number three, Christian friends. Christian friends. Now, God can use things outside of here, but this is just three things that the Lord has used a lot in my life, and I think in the lives of other people here. So I think we need to develop this prayer attitude of talking and listening. Now, when I'm talking about listening to God, I've never heard an audible voice. I'm not saying God never does that. I'm just saying I personally have never heard an audible voice from God. If you have, that's interesting. But that's still small voice. Boy, I've heard a lot. As I sat quiet before the Lord, or get reminded of a scripture, or reminded of a passage, or the Lord just kind of, you know, a clear thought emerges into my mind during those quiet times, and I believe that is the Lord. Here's a life lesson. Take the time to listen to what the Lord would say to you. Take the time to listen to what the Lord would say to you. Oftentimes we get so busy doing this, doing that, that we don't take time to listen to God. And a lot of times we're spinning our wheels because we haven't asked God, God, do you want me to do this? God, do you want me to do that? God says, you know, I just want to sit and talk to you. Reminds me of an old joke I heard. Two parents talking about a kid that went off to college, and one group of parents, they say, you know, our kid never gets in touch with us, never calls us since he's gone away to college. Another other parent says, oh, I figure out a way to deal with that. I said, how you deal with it? Says, well, I send them a letter about once a month, and I say, look, here's $20. You go spend it in any way you want to. Go blow it on a meal or whatever. Don't buy books or anything like that. Just go blow it. And the guy goes, well, I send money to my kids all the time, but they never call. He goes, well, right there, your problem. See, when I send that letter, I don't put the $20 in there. And then they always call going, hey, where's $20? And then I get to talk to them while they're telling me. It kind of illustrates the point that a lot of times when we need something, you ever notice what happens to your prayer life? Man, that's convicting.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there, too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 5. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved around in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I've moved about with all the children of Israel, have I spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I want you to know something. Who really put David to be the leader, the pastor, the shepherd, the king of Israel? God did. Not Saul, not Samuel, but God. Well, what's my point? God makes godly leaders. God raises up godly leaders in His time, through His processes and His season. And part of being a godly leader is to wait on God raising you up. And what happens here sometimes is people they want to kind of jump rungs on the ladder, and they don't really want to wait on the Lord. They want to immediately begin leading or teaching or doing something like that. And that tells me something, because you know, even when you look at David with Saul, David was waiting. Saul was, let's face it, towards the end, Saul was a horrible king. David knew he was supposed to be king. David had already been anointed as king, but still he waited. For what? For an opportunity? Oh, no, he had opportunities a couple times with Saul in the cave. What was he waiting on? He's waiting on God. He wanted God to be the one that raised him up. And notice he's, God says, you know what? He was a shepherd when I chose him. I don't think this was to humble David and to say, oh, David, what were you when I chose? No, I think God in part chose David because he was a shepherd and would lead his people and lead Israel. And this begins a section of scripture. It's called the Davidic Covenant. It's a very important chapter in the prophetic nature of the Bible, the Davidic Covenant. You have other covenants, Noahic, Abrahamic, and Mosaic Covenant. This is the Davidic Covenant, the covenant God makes with David. Verse 9. And I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you and have made you a great name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. This is an interesting verse. Now God, let's remember, God is speaking to Nathan to tell this to David. Why isn't God speaking directly to David? Because this is what God does sometimes. God sometimes will speak to somebody else to speak to us. Now you got to be careful with this one. Obviously, it can be abused and people can get power tripped out by it. But God sometimes does this. He'll use somebody to speak to us, and that's what he's doing. Look at this verse. I've made you a great name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Do you realize? I mean, this was quite a verse. Because at this time, David had a reputation and had a name among other kingdoms on this earth. But think of this for a second. You know how many people are familiar with King David? Not just Christians and not just Jewish people. I mean all over the world. You can mention King David and most people know what you're talking about. How is that? God said, I'm going to give you a great name. God did it. David got a great name. It's interesting. A few years ago, these liberal theologians and whatnot, they said, well, we don't think David ever existed. They just made up stories and put them in the Bible and stuff. And it was interesting because like 6 months after this theory started going around the body of Christ, they found this big stone in Israel that talked about King David and how he won these many battles and stuff. And I thought, you go, God. Verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Now, some of these promises are conditional. God gave the land to Israel, and that was unconditional. Him giving the land to Israel was unconditional. That promise is still in place today. Their enjoyment of the land was conditional upon their obedience. So the reason that later on with the Assyrians and with the Babylonians and later in life with the Romans, the reason they didn't enjoy the land, the reason they weren't in that land, I believe was because of disobedience. But God in his grace, God in his mercy, now has restored Israel back to the land. So let's understand that as we go through some of these promises. Verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. There's a couple of really cool things in these verses. First thing that's happening is God is saying, David, you're not going to be the one to build my house. His son Solomon will build the house. That's interesting because we call it Solomon's temple, but you think about it. David drew up the plans. David collected the materials. David did most of the stuff, and then Solomon just instituted the work, but we call it Solomon's temple. It's kind of interesting. But I think this is also speaking prophetically or in foretelling Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ will build the house in the name of God, and he will reign forever. Jesus had a conversation with Peter. It's kind of interesting. Some people have confused it. In this conversation, he says, who am I, Peter? Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He says, that's awesome, Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And was he talking about building his church on Peter? No, absolutely not. He was talking about building his church on the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Christ. We don't want to build a church on Peter. We want to build a church on Jesus. here we have this prophetic nature, this foretelling of Jesus in this Davidic covenant. Now, why wasn't David chosen to build the house? Well, we're told, and kind of there's some parallel chapters in here with the Bible, especially between 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 22:8 says this, "But the word of the Lord came to me saying," to speaking to David, "you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight." David was a warrior. Because of that, God said, "I don't want you building my house." I don't completely understand why. I'm not going to even sit up here and attempt to explain why. That was God's decision. "David, you're not going to build my house. You're a man of war." Solomon wasn't a man of war, and Solomon ended up building the house. God decides things. Sometimes we understand it, and sometimes we don't. But if you only submit to God when you understand what He's doing, that's not really submission. That's just agreement. See, you never know if you submit to somebody until you disagree with them. Because if you submit to them when you disagree with them, that is submission. And so you really have to have a disagreement with somebody before you realize whether you're in submission or not. And certainly sometimes God will do something, we don't understand it and might not agree with it, and then we see if we're really submitted to the Lord. It's kind of telling. Verse 14, "I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men." God chastens the ones he loves. The Bible talks about that. Verse 15, "But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you." My mercy, my mercy. What is mercy? Let's talk about mercy. Mercy can be defined as not getting what you deserve. Mercy can be defined as not getting what you deserve. I'll never forget, teaching my children this, what mercy is, what grace is. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. How often do you need God's mercy? All the time. You realize the Bible tells us that His mercies are new every morning. In other words, every morning you wake up, God's like, I got a big old bucket of mercy, gonna dump it all over you. Why doesn't He use yesterday's mercy? Because you already used all of yesterday's mercies up. You did. You messed up this way, you messed up that way, and God looks down and goes, "Oh, need a fresh bucket there, man. There's some new mercies every morning." His mercies never end. You're never going to stretch His mercy beyond His capabilities. We need to understand this concept of mercy. It's a lot in the New Testament. I'm going to run through some scriptures. Ephesians 2:4 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy," get the picture, rich in mercy. What does rich mean? It means you got a lot of it. You're talking about money. That means you got a lot of money. "Rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us." 2 Corinthians 4:1 says this, "And so since God in His mercy has given us this wonderful ministry we never give up." That's a great verse. You know what that says? That if you're serving the Lord, you're serving the Lord because God gave you in His mercy the opportunity to minister. Not necessarily because of your giftings, but because of His mercy. James 2:13, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. Oh, man, that's a good one, isn't it? Mercy triumphs over judgment. But notice it says you got to show mercy to people. James 3:17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "All honor to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by His boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again." So how did you get saved? You got saved through grace, you got saved through mercy. Nobody has ever come to God to ask Him to forgive them of their sins and God looked down and go, "Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Who let you in here? I can't forgive you. You've simply gone too far too long." God in His mercy.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. "Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience His shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.